Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
Hour number two on this Monday, Darren, Donick, and Chase, a guy we used to talk to every week. We enjoyed those conversations for years. Andrew Brandt is on the line with us from MMQB, does great work, and I don't know, maybe he can confirm or he'll deny that he'll be the new head of the NFLPA. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm not going to address that.
Is that a deny?
I just think that, you know, there's agendas out there. I don't have one. That's what I'll say. I'm trying to be a voice, and sometimes I seem like a voice in the wilderness that's pointing out what I think is not an equitable deal for the players. And, you know, it just seems like I don't understand it, really. It's an interesting case study where it seems like media especially is just sort of like, yeah, you got to sign this deal. It's going to be crazy if you don't. And I'm like, it's not a great deal. I mean, so what is behind all this? I mean, it's just, to me, it's really interesting to see.
Andrew, why do you think in the NFL in particular has, of the big four, I feel like the NFL has always, the players, the NFLPA, has always been kind of the weakest of the big four. Is that safe to say? We know baseball's been the strongest, but the NBA and even hockey, I mean, I think the NFL probably ranks last of, I just think most people feel like their deals over the years have not been great deals for the players.
Well, here's what you're saying, and it looks like the players are poised, maybe, to jump in another one. So, you know, listen, as I've been saying, what have we heard from leadership for the past 10 years? No way, no how, we're playing more than 16 games, and it's disingenuous of owners to ask for this in this day of health and safety.
Mm-hmm.
How could they do that? Yet, here we are. And it's like, okay, they've given in on the business side, they're getting something back. So the ultimate question is, are there enough givebacks from the owners to give up that incredibly valuable resource of an extra game? And by the way, extra playoff games. And in my view, they're not. I mean, what are they getting back? Well, they're getting back some increases, which I think are nominal, on the revenue split. It's going from 53-47 owners to about 52-48, and if they get a media kicker, it's sort of the deals go up a certain amount, it goes up to 48-5 for the players, so maybe they get back half of what they gave up 10 years ago. And then, of course, health and safety and reduced practice time and some pension benefits, which I don't discount. But it's not enough, and it's too long. It's 11 years. So those are just my top-of-line things to worry about with this deal.
How much, Andrew, do you think factors into the one, it's the one sport of the big four that doesn't have guaranteed contracts? So how much do you think there's more have-nots than haves when it comes to money in the NFL? Guys just fighting for paychecks, and you know they're not living the in the lap of luxury. How much do you think that plays a factor in all this?
Well, I think you know there's a lot of. It's not as simple as guaranteed contracts. There's nothing in the CBA for the NBA and the CBA for the MLB that says you have to guarantee contracts. It's individual negotiations, but, you know, if the CBA was better, if there were more guarantees collectively, then you could have more guarantees individually. And listen, I mean, you're sort of putting out this narrative, the same one I hear all the time. Oh, the rank and file, they just want, you know, they just want pensions. They don't, the stars. There's this sort of pitting people are doing of star players versus rank and file. You know, the executive committee of the union is against this deal. Now, maybe you've heard of Richard Sherman, but I don't know if you've heard of other people on this executive committee. So they would be rank and file. There are going to be a lot of rank and file players that vote against this deal. So it's just sort of too convenient to say, well, you know, players are scared or whatever. And then I bring up the word scared. I think there's a fear factor that the owners are going to go away. Let's be real. This deal does not expire next week. This deal expires in, you know, 53 weeks. So everyone can have an opinion on what's going to happen next, but nothing's going to change football-wise.
Andrew Brand is with us. And, Andrew, I was intrigued by what Aaron Rodgers had to say, and not his own personal opinion, but the thing that really jumped out at to me was he was pretty candid in saying he's tried to present to his team, like he's the representative, and he said he just hasn't gotten a lot of feedback. And so he's trying to get people's attention on his team to, hey, pay attention to this. Let's really put some thought into it. How much do you think that's going on in all of the camps?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe he by now, I thought it was a few days ago, maybe by now he's gotten a lot of response back. I mean, listen, this is the time players are out, they're on vacation, they're moving around, but, you know, on the other hand, I've had a lot of players reach out to me with questions, and all types, practice squad players, minimum players. And they're reading my stuff, and they're reading other stuff. And they're wanting to know, you know, again, are they hearing things that are true or not? And that's what, you know, I and others try to do and help.
So you just pointed out that it's not like this is a deadline and camps are about to open. So what would be wrong with just trying to keep negotiations open? I noticed it struck me as a scare tactic, you know, the anonymous owner saying, boy, I hope that they turn it down because then we can go back to the negotiating table and really squeeze it. We could start taking stuff away. We were too generous with this offer. But really, what is the harm in trying to work towards something better for the players?
Well, that's my point. And there seems to be this feeling that if they turn it down, the owners, listen to what has to happen in terms of that view. The owners will pack up their briefcases and not talk to them for a year. Okay, that's one idea. Or put a worse deal out there. But we keep hearing about TV deals. The owners need, I mean, evidently, because 17 games is such a big deal, then TV networks have told the owners, we want that. So if they want that, they got to get it from the players. And then if the networks want labor peace, well, if they want labor peace, they got to get it from the players. So what am I missing here? I mean, who really has the leverage? And everyone's like, well, owners always have the leverage. And I usually say that too. But the owners need two things. They need 17 games, and they need labor peace. Who's the key to that? The players. So I think the fear tactics are pretty strong out there.
You mentioned Richard Sherman. We've talked about Aaron Rodgers. Who else among the players can really be sort of those hardline guys that say, no, we are not going to 17 games without X, Y, Z? It just doesn't seem, I haven't seen a lot of that, the banding together, really to show, at least at the top, that there's a lot of solidarity there. Where I feel like I used to, like Kevin Mawai comes to mind as a guy that used to say, we are not playing more than 16 games. It's just not going to happen, et cetera. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, we heard that for a long time. and a lot of players. I mean, you can sort of look up the clips over the last 12 years. Yet here we are. You know, and I continue to say this. There's an executive committee that runs the union. The one report is they were 6-5 against this deal. One report, 7-4 against this deal. There's player reps. Now, they have an endorsement of this deal, but it's pretty lukewarm, 17-14 with one abstention. Now it goes to the full membership. Now, I'm looking at those numbers, and I'm saying, Jesus, that's a hell of a way to walk into an 11-year deal with the exec council against it and the player reps kind of for it, sort of. You know what I mean?
Andrew Brand is with us, MMQB. Shifting gears a little bit as, you know, there's still free agency and everything here to come. The deadline for franchise tag will be on Thursday. As you look at the Tennessee Titans and the situation they're in with both their quarterback, their running back, they have several other key players that are going to have contracts expiring. And, oh, by the way, there's the Tom Brady rumors. How do you view the Titans right now and the job John Robinson has to do as he approaches free agency?
Well, you know, again, they got to figure out the most important position. There are a lot of teams in this boat right now, and everything will flow from that. The quarterback, I have no inside knowledge on the quarterback for the Titans or anyone else. I just think that we're in this incredibly, generally, I think we're in this incredibly unique time in history this month where we have maybe more supply than demand. I've never said that about the quarterback position. But we have supply. We have Rivers. We have Brady. We have Tannehill. We have Mariota. We have Winston. We have, well, Breeze, I'm sure, will go back. But Bridgewater. And they're all out there. And then you have these rookies coming in, and Burrow and Tua and Herbert. And I mean, everyone's going to get a quarterback. The problem is they're going to be quarterbacks left out there. So we'll see what happens. I think it's fascinating.
Do you truly believe Tom Brady is leaving New England?
I do. It's just a hunch. I mean, again, I look at business, and he renegotiated that contract to get out. Now, maybe he just wanted to experience recruiting and free agency. But to me, when you do that, there's a reason for that. And they couldn't franchise him. And I mean, I'm like, to me that means something, but we'll see.
I know you said you don't have inside knowledge, but when you look at it in the relationship that he has with the head coach and Mike Vrabel and the general manager and John Robinson, they've all worked together before. Do you think that does give the Titans an edge, or do you, you know, put any type of weight with that at all?
Yeah, I mean, personal relationships do matter, but, you know, it's going to be a totality of circumstances, money, opportunity. You know, I just looked at Brady all year, and I thought, you know, he just seems mad. You know, it's not like they didn't use resources at receiver. I mean, they signed Brown for a while. They traded for Sanu. They used the number one pick. But he just seemed like, eh. Besides Edelman, he just didn't seem to like it. So I think that'll be a big part of it.
I brought up at the beginning, Andrew, just because I was kidding, but I do think it's amazing that you're just trying to write what you think. You know, you've been an executive in the league, so you've seen both sides of things. You've dealt with players, and I do think it's funny that people, you know, think you have an agenda by what, speaking out and saying how you feel. It's just kind of silly to me. So I was doing
it's flattering when people suggest you for jobs that you're not applying for.
Which means you've gotten a lot of people's attention with your writing and your work right now, because you know people are reading your stuff and they're commenting on it. So, hey, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this. And business is about to pick up in the NFL here in the next week or so.
You got it. Take care, guys.
All right. Ed is Andrew Brandt with MMQB, and we used to do a weekly with him, and he's fantastic. Used to be in the Packers organization. He's all over the CBA stuff. And people are saying, oh, you're just trying to get DeMaurice Smith's job. And it's, but, you know, he's just saying what a lot of people are saying, but he's just laying it out of, this deal is not good. And we even talked about it. If you are so hardcore against something, Can you really be bought? If you truly believe it's wrong, can you be bought? And they have told us for years it is wrong to suggest an extra game. It is wrong for our safety. It is wrong for many reasons.
But and you're getting bought for 11 years with not a whole lot coming back in return. That's his biggest point.
Yeah, right? That's agreed. He's saying it's too long, but I'm just saying pick something that you're totally against for whatever reason. Can you be bought to agree to do it?
Sure.
Can you?
I mean, it depends, but to quote a wrestler, every man's got a price for the $1 million man.
So if you were to, do you agree with the way Skip Bayless goes about his business?
No.
Would you want to have any interest in being a shock jock?
No.
Can you be bought to turn into that?
I think that's different because I think you have to be wired that way. I'm not wired that way. I don't think you can be an effective shock jock if you're not just built that way.
Fair. That's a good point. But also, I know that anybody's really equipped to be a shock jock.
Now,
you just get on here and you just say outrageous things. I mean, how hard is it to do that? How hard is it truly to get on here and say ridiculous things or to go after the biggest fan bases to get attention? I mean, how hard is it to do that? It's actually pretty easy. It really is. It's lazy, but it's pretty easy. I mean, it's easy to get attention in this business if you want it.
If somebody handed me $1 million, I'd probably try.
But think about this.
So you're basically saying you can be bought.
For $1 million, I don't think you turn that down.
Ask yourself, though, from Andrew Brandt's perspective. He's been an agent, right? So on one hand, you can say, well, he's looking out for the players. But he's also worked for a team. He used to work for the Packers. So this is a pretty objective viewpoint that I think he has. And he has no axe to grind. Right, he's just calling it like he sees it. I think that's pretty eye-opening if you're the players. If I'm sitting out there as a player that's looking for guidance and I've been pressured one way, pressured the other way, I think that would be a good voice of reason to look at. And if you look at his column on it, I think it makes a lot of sense. It's like, why would you agree to a deal so far before a deadline if it's not a great deal for you?
Right.
Why not just keep working towards something a little bit better?
Said he's got 53 months. Till it's up.
53 weeks.
53 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, not 53 months. 53 weeks.
53 months would be
would be ridiculous.
A car note. You've got to buy a brand new car. Can I get you 53 months financing?
They have 77 month financing?
Yeah. They can go pretty far out.
All right. We will. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. You heard us in the first hour say it is bracket time. Yeah. Sunday, Selection Sunday. It's just around the corner. By the way, you can sign up and play the official Game Bracket Challenge. That's brought to you by Central Barbecue and Sun Service Convenience Stores. Go to thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville mobile app. Sign up and play today. Brackets will open up after the teams have been selected on Sunday. Also, if you're lucky enough to have the perfect bracket, you could win $1 million. I don't know why it's a million. They could make it $500 million. Nobody's going to have a perfect bracket, especially this year. Give me a break. Not happening. You could make it $500 million. Nobody's going to win that. Okay, so we were carrying over this conversation in the break, which I thought was really interesting because Chase was like, well, would you do it for $1 million? And I said, no. Why would I change what I've done at this point in my career for $1 million? Would I love to have $1 million a year? Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Sign me up. But I've been at this for over two decades. Why on earth would I change my style now?
Right.
If I haven't done, there are people, you've heard me say this, people that cheat to get ahead in this business or in any facet of life, whatever, you know, industry you're in, there are people who cheat to move ahead. I have no respect for them. Zero. Never will. If you cheated to get where you are, I have zero respect for you. I've done it on the up and up. Basically, if we're having the baseball conversation, I chose not to do steroids. Okay?
Right. So the way you asked the question,
you said,
though,
would you do it? And I said, no.
Okay, but the way
why would I?
The way you asked the question, And I think this is apples and oranges, trying to compare. I know what you're doing, but trying to compare the CBA and the players to this, I think, is a little bit different.
I didn't say it was an apples-apples comparison. Right. The point was, Chase, people can be bought.
Yes. In the spirit of how you asked the question, my answer would be, and you and I are at different stages in our career. We're different. I mean, look, you've been at it for a long time, so you've had a lot more time to, you know, make money and do that, have success, whereas I haven't. If somebody walked in and offered me $1 million, I'd probably think about it and maybe try to change my style.
No, I don't think you're going to think about it. You just said you would do it.
But here's the thing. I'm wired a certain way. So if I all of a sudden come in tomorrow and I'm going to play shock jock, it's probably not going to work because I'm not built that way. I'm just not that kind of person. Now, to your point, you've done this a certain way for X amount of years, so it wouldn't make any sense for you to change because you're established of how you are, whereas I'm still at the very early stages.
Well, financially, it would. I mean, it would absolutely make sense. I mean, I've got a family. I mean,
right.
We could always use a bigger house. We could always use nicer things.
Extra room.
Yeah. I mean, financially, it absolutely makes tons of sense.
But you don't need another car. Herm says only one car. One
and that's
house,
fine.
One
I love
car.
My car. I don't need.
What?
I don't need
one.
I don't need more than the car that I have. I love my car. So it's not about. I mean, it's more than just changing a style, Chase. It's about you know, financially. I absolutely could. We're talking about financing. That was my whole point with Andrew Brandt. And as much as I respect him, because Willie, you laid it out perfectly. He's done a lot. You know, he's been in front office. He's been an agent. He's been on the media side. He has done it all. Television. He really has. He's a really smart cat. But I'll respectfully disagree with him when he kind of shot down the notion, you know, that everybody goes to what I did, the haves and the have-nots. Well, I'll respectfully disagree. This conversation is exactly what I'm talking about. Because you're the young guy. You're the right. Young whippersnapper, and you immediately said, well, that's not my style. That's not how I do things. That's not how I'm wired. But for $1 million a year, yeah, okay, let's do it. Let's do it. I'll give it a roll. These guys are like, safety? No. Another game? No. You don't have the best interest in heart. No, we don't need another game. It's just going to lead to more injuries.
You're going to make more money, though.
You're going to make more money. Sign me up. Okay. I'm 23 years old. Sign me up. Because you know what? I'm worried about next year's paychecks.
But I mean, and I think that what's interesting is I would love to see the breakdown of those players of where they are on the roster. You know, is it the guy? I don't think it's the guys that are making the guaranteed money. I think it's the guys that are probably roster spot 35 to 53 that, you know, are having to scratch and claw and make the team out of camp, or some of these guys that are playing in the XFL. You know, aren't there guys playing in the XFL that would technically still be members of the PA? I mean, they could sign on and be in training camps this summer. Could they not?
Sure, they will.
Right.
Guys
so
will.
I think that some of them are probably monitoring this situation. That, okay, get more money. Because here's another thing. If you go to 17 games, we've talked about this, don't you have to expand the rosters? Don't you have to go more than 53?
Yes. There's no question.
And they are.
Okay.
That's in the proposal.
Yeah, they are.
What's the number?
I think it needs to be bigger than what they've proposed, personally.
I haven't seen I don't know what the number. Okay, let's just say they go to 55. So you're adding two to each team. Well, that opens up a ton of jobs all of a sudden. If you go even more than that, you're opening up more. So I think that's really important to some of these practice squad or guys that are playing in the XFL right now that are watching this going,
Well, that
could mean something.
That also is part of it, is that the practice squad rights would be better for those players. So that is how the owners have always attacked.
The sweet
right?
in the pot.
We're going to throw a bone. You know, we'll under the hey, okay, we're addressing. Let's do a little better job for those guys. That's, you know, pennies over the long haul for an 11-year deal.
No question.
For that.
Pennies.
In exchange for what it could be. I think the owners know if the players really took a hard line like the baseball players, they'd be really in for it.
Well, they have,
right?
And they've always caved. They have. We're not too... How far are we removed from a lockout where a lot of guys were working out over here in town at, you know, some of the high school football fields. And how long did that lockout last?
Not very long.
And it was the off season, right?
Well, it came up right to the brink of the training camp, right?
The brink of the training camp.
Right. Well, this one, they're trying to get 53 weeks out. That's the thing. All they have to do is get a majority vote for the next 11 years. But that is really where, and I've said this before, but when you go back to the history of how the baseball players union became so strong, they were unified with the big picture in mind for the next generation of players, not just for how it affects them and the next few years of their career, right? It was more, what can we do to make it better for the players forever,
but why?
Going forward?
Why were they? Why were they able to pull it off? It's all still the same thing, okay?
Because they were solid. They were rock solid.
How did they get to that point?
Marvin Miller. They had great leadership, and they had a buy-in from the top. And the guys, it's rank and file for baseball too, right? There's minor leaguers.
Sure. You don't think there's haves and have-nots in baseball?
I mean, there's haves and have-nots in every sport.
Remember 1994 when the players, and it was, I mean, they took some heat. The players took some heat in 94 when they went on strike in August, right?
And they ended the season.
And they had no World Series.
Nope.
No World Series. And in 95, the owners were going to come out with replacement players. Remember?
Yeah, I was ticked. I was working in the scoreboard room at Jacobs Field.
And there,
my checks stopped in August.
And there were very few players from the union that crossed, right? They tried to maybe do what football did. It worked in 87, where little by little, after a couple of weeks, the players started crossing the lines. Baseball stayed pretty tight. Pretty tight. And that probably helped them in the negotiations to get a settlement.
Well, you were telling me during the break, you're like, you know, the owners, they kind of feast on the players caving. And
for football, it's worked for years,
and I told you, why
would it be different? Yeah.
Of course they do. I said, they're billionaires. Of course they do. And I said, really, that's how life works, right? If the Donics have a cut-and-dry case against X company, big, massive, huge company, they've got a case that really is cut-and-dry. Like, you guys have the goods, but you're going up against the big, gigantic company. And you've gone over here in town, and you've found yourself a really good lawyer, but it's the Donics versus X company. What do you think their intentions are for X company? You think they're like, you know what? The Donics got us dead to rights. Let's just cut them a big check and make them go away. No.
No, it's not.
Now, they may eventually get to that point, but their initial thoughts are, we're us, and they're a little old family. Okay, we'll just bleed them out. We'll drag this thing out, and eventually they'll cave. You know why? Because we don't care. We can go on and on and on. They can't. Isn't that the same thing, right? That big company thinks like the owners. Yeah, good luck.
They wouldn't think that way if there had been victories in the past for the Players Association, and that's what happened in baseball. They started getting victories. Partially because way back at the beginning, the baseball players weren't making that much to begin with, so they didn't have as much to lose back then, right? And then as they gained more and more solidarity and they started making moves and making gains in the labor process, then they became a force to be reckoned with. The owners were like, man, we're not going to wait them out. That strategy doesn't work against them,
mm-hmm.
right? That mentality you just laid out there. But that mentality you just laid out there, I think, is very accurate right now with the way the owners look at the players, because they've never been able to mount enough solidarity to say, we have leverage here. That's what Andrew's point is. They have leverage. They just don't realize they have as much leverage as they do.
Yeah. Why don't you tell everybody about the folks at Lee Company?
All right. Let's talk Lee Company. 567-1000, area code 615. Very, very busy these days, of course, but you're going to want to be part of their services over the long term. That's why I always emphasize the home maintenance plan. We're talking about the annual checkups over the long term about your plumbing services, your electrical services, your heating and cooling units. It's going to start getting warm here pretty soon. Make sure your air conditioning unit is running properly. So 615-567-1000, you pay the monthly fee. In exchange for that, you get those annual checkups. They'll call you, make sure everything's running properly. They'll find small problems before they become big problems and crisis problems. And so in exchange for that, you pay a small monthly fee. But when the repairs do need to be made, you'll get discounts on those repairs. It saves you money long term. 615-567-1000 for Lee Company. And remember, you can go online at leecompany.com.
This is what I know coming up in about 10 minutes. Vince Ferrara, WNML in Knoxville. We'll talk about the Vols at high noon. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, the legal tampering period begins this time next week where you can legally tamper.
Well, and along those lines, Chase, you informed me off the air. Then this is one of our pick six questions.
Yeah,
about,
so
the franchise tag is the floating. The date has floated a little bit from what we've been saying.
We kind of missed this one. So with all the CBA stuff going on, apparently the NFL and the NFLPA agreed that they would move it to Thursday instead of tomorrow. So 3 o'clock Central Time on Thursday, the 12th, is when the teams have to issue the franchise tag. So got a few more days to figure this out. You know, if you're the Titans or any other team, of what they're going to do. So I find that interesting. You know, that they, I know the Cowboys have submitted another offer to Dak Prescott. So that, you know, they're trying to get him signed to a long-term deal because, I mean, they also have to worry about Amari Cooper, you know, getting him re-signed. So I think the Cowboys are trying to see if they can come up with a deal with Dak Prescott so they can get that taken care of. After Adam Schefter was reporting that on ESPN, I was trying to find the language of it. But $33 million, I think, was the original offer, and now they've submitted another one. So we'll see if Dak is the first domino to fall. Because Andrew Brandt brought it up. The supply outweighs the demand. There's going to be quarterbacks that are left out that are going to have to take backup roles or, you know, take less money because there are a lot of quarterbacks that are going to be available when free agency opens.
SportsCenter has been running a piece today, and the piece has been called, "What if Tom Brady goes to the Tennessee Titans?"
I know. I saw that on Twitter.
That's a piece that SportsCenter is doing today. What if Tom Brady goes to the Tennessee Titans? I brought up today on Morning Drive on my weekly Monday hit at 9 o'clock. They asked, you know, I said, I would love for this to go on another month or so. It'd be great.
Well,
they were like, no. And I'm like, why? And I want to bring this up to you, Willie, because we've been covering the Titans since they got to town. I said, I cannot remember a time where there has been this much offseason chatter than there has been about this team and the Tom Brady and Ryan
Tannehill.
You're
talking about the national scene.
Well, locally, nationally, all the above, however you want to look at it. You tell me an offseason that's garnered this much chatter, a Titans offseason that has had this much chatter. Now, there was the kaboom of when Floyd Reese had to cut Kevin Carter and Samari Roll and Derek Mason. There was kaboom because they were up against the cap, but we all knew. I'm talking about like chatter about free agents, chatter about a trade, or chatter about really anything. This ranks up there.
I think there's always been a lot, but especially the last few years when the team has been good, but not like this. We're talking about a new level.
What was the chatter last year?
The chatter last year?
What was the chatter?
Well, I mean, Marcus Mariota's contract, I mean, that was huge.
Marcus Mariota's contract was huge compared to Tannehill.
Don't act like we didn't spend a lot of time on
Tannehill and Brady?
Is Marcus Mariota the guy? Is he going to get another contract?
Right.
We turned a ton of time on
it.
It
felt huge
the last
then,
couple
but
years.
I don't
the
think
last 3 years has been that.
It so felt like a really big deal then because that was the biggest deal that the Titans had to worry
about. Why was it chatter? Because we were all trying to figure out, is Mariota really the guy?
Of course.
That's why it was the chatter.
Right. And then I think we knew that answer
but
after
you're saying
three
we
games.
I'm just saying we spent a lot of time talking about the Titans. The subjects were different. But that chatter wasn't a national story, not nearly like this is. Like this morning, look at it right now. They're showing Marcus Mariota, but it's all in the musical chairs kind of situation that's going on with quarterbacks in general. But They went as far as to speculate this morning on get up, and there's nothing to it, but would it be tampering because of the FaceTime thing with Tom Brady? I mean, you just take a little moment like that, and you have people, and then they started making jokes about Mike Vrabel's mustache. You know what I mean?
Which is ridiculous, because if they have a relationship, why can't they can't talk?
It is, and that's what they pointed out. But this is what I'm saying. Tim Hasselbeck made this point last week. This is how ESPN ticks, right? You try to you throw provocative things out there to fill the time, because you're sort of just in a waiting period until you actually have news, because once the dates hit here, they'll actually have some news stories to sink their teeth in.
Okay,
until then, it's just a waiting game. And so you play games like this.
Right, how about I phrase it this way then? Because locally, we're always going to talk about it. There'll be something to always talk about. How about I say this? Since they've been to town, this is the most that the national media has ever talked about a Titans offseason.
I think that's fair.
And I don't even think it's close.
Probably true, yeah.
Don't even think it's close.
Well, when they were coming off winning the Super Bowl, or you know, losing the Super Bowl in that era, relatively speaking, no?
No, because back then we used to field calls all the time when they were good. Of why doesn't the national media ever talk about the Titans? You know those calls. We got them all the time.
Yeah,
why doesn't the national media ever talk about us?
It's also very different, yeah. I mean, it's with social media, and I mean, you have ESPN.com and streaming services and 18 sports networks, and I mean, it's a different ballgame now. But
every day, the national media is talking about the Titans. Every day.
Right.
That's never happened.
But if Tom Brady wasn't involved in this, they wouldn't be talking
about it. That's exactly right.
Even with Derrick Henry. Even the season that Derrick Henry had, they wouldn't be talking.
That's
but it's
exactly
because it's Tom Brady.
Right.
So it's not that they're necessarily talking about the Titans. They are. They're talking about Tom Brady.
And that's right. One of the reasons in favor of this, because that is the point.
But here, we've been talking about Derrick Henry for a couple years, too. Like, what's next for him? Like, will he ever get to the point? Especially last offseason. What did the last four games mean, the last month of the season? So now we've come full circle on that. We spent a lot of time on Jack Conklin over the years, you know, when he went through the ACL and all that stuff. So it's extremely provocative for those who have been following the story locally to have all three of these guys coming up, then throw in Logan Ryan. I mean, it's a great what would you do kind of sports talk question, right? Then you add this layer of just Tom Brady superstardom and that whole thing that you're seeing nationally, and you got a lot of interest on a number of different levels.
We will come back and find out what you know. Tell us what you know to end hour number two. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Yes, we want to know. Our phone lines are still not up and running, our normal lines. The text line is still there available for you, 615-737-1025, but it can only be used as a text line. Our other number is 615-747.
It's not even working right now, so...
It's not?
No.
What is it?
The text line.
Oh, the text line is not working. 747-6220. Well, I guess that is your number you're going to have to call. 747-6220.
Never mind. Here we go.
Back up?
We're cooking.
All right. We've got a pair of tickets, a VIP Maybe. Tickets to the Music City Irish Festival on the line. That'll be a bicentennial. That's this Sunday. VIP tickets are access to the VIP area where you can exchange tokens for beers, sit and relax in the shade, enjoy the private VIP area. So you'll get the whole VIP experience this Sunday, but you have to tell us what you know. 747-6220. 747-6220. Who wants to start?
I'll start it up.
Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
I thought you guys would want to know. On this date,
you're not wrong.
On this date in 1963, the Mets introduced this song to their fandom. And it's been part of their broadcast, part of the Mets Foundation ever since.
Wow, that's fantastic.
On this day in 1963.
Thank you.
That is
we did not know that, so thank you.
From New York town. Mm-hmm. They're socking that ball. Also, I want to give a shout-out to A.J. Molesko, who we've gotten to know very well over the last couple of years, and the all-women's broadcast last night on NBCSN.
Cool.
Really cool stuff. I mean, they showed the people in the truck, all women, mm-hmm. in the truck, in the booth, between the benches, Kendall Coyne Schofield.
And why? Why was it?
It was International Women's Day.
There we go.
So I thought that was a great idea.
I watched a lot of the coverage.
I think a lot of leagues would not have the guts to, quite honestly, to do that. But the NHL, once again, trendsetters on that. We'll see if other sports end up following with anything similar.
Well, the NHL, I also know that they're trendsetters in something else that came out over the weekend, right before the drop of the puck in Dallas, that they're closing the locker rooms for the media. They've also asked front office personnel and people involved in the organization not to travel internationally for scouting purposes and what have you. And I saw a lot of stuff over the weekend that's saying that the NBA may follow suit, MLS may follow suit, MLB may follow suit. Of course, this is for coronavirus and the spread of that and the disease control. And, the NHL was – I've never heard of this before. I think
made that official?
I don't think they have made it official yet. Elliot Friedman's been reporting this, but
well,
I don't
they
know
didn't
that they
do
have
it
come
Saturday,
through.
Even though it came out.
Well, I think you were there, Willie, but I think I heard the Preds open the room like normal. Dallas brought players out for a press conference.
Yeah, it was certainly not official Saturday. I don't know what's happened
and everything,
in the last 48
that's
hours.
Elliot Friedman
has put that out there, that it's going to happen. Now, of course, we're about to go to the two
Elliot said
media
they sent a memo
meccans.
Out to ever to all the media.
Internal.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean that it's an official policy yet. We'll see. Like we're about to really find out because we're going to two of the biggest media, two biggest media throngs you're going to go to, Montreal and then Toronto.
This is what Gary Bettman has said. This is on NHL.com. We're considering every conceivable option that may be because what's happening is evolving not only on a day-to-day basis in terms of us staying on top of developments, but it's almost hour to hour. We are considering no formal announcement. Some clubs may be focusing on this on their own, but as you know, all know the locker room is a very intimate environment and players are not always fully clothed, and it may be best to have media accessibility at a podium for everybody's health and safety, not just the players, but the media's. But he has emphasized that no official announcement's been made.
I guess I'm just a little confused. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to play one. But you're trotting a head coach and players into a room, full of people. So help me understand that. What do you? You're trotting players and a coach into a room full of people.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
I just don't understand. Like I said, not a doctor, but I don't understand that. I mean, that's different as opposed to going into another room. I don't know. I'm just a little confused. To me, the way I look at it is if this is the reasoning, would you just shut it down completely, interaction completely? I don't know what. Having people go, is that fair to a head coach that he's got to go into the room? I mean,
But you're not going to have any physical contact in a room with the podium. I think that's what you're trying to
do. You have
prevent.
Physical contact in the media room? In the locker room?
I think sometimes in Montreal and Toronto, if you let everybody in the locker room, it's very close quarters. People are bouncing off of each other and stuff. It does get very crowded in there, for example. I think there are some locker rooms where I don't think it would make much difference either way, right? Depending on just because of the number of media that are going in there, it's very small.
Yeah, but they didn't do this for Montreal and Toronto.
If you go to South Florida.
If this is going to be league wide, it's not for Montreal and Toronto, it's for the entire league. And so,
right, but
in Sunrise, Florida, there may be two media members in there. So, what are you trying to, you know what I mean?
I think they're trying to be consistent. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
Because in Montreal, in Vancouver, in Toronto and New York and Boston, it does maybe get crowded in there. I don't know. Like, I guess better safe than sorry. You're trying to be a little too safe rather than be not safe enough. You know, remember we talked about it last week. Adam came in here and he was showing us stories that the NCAA basketball tournament, some people were suggesting you should play with no fans. Mm-hmm. In the state of Washington, where the coronavirus has had significant outbreak, they did play a lot of sporting events with no fans. They wouldn't let any fans in the building. They were very careful on who they let in there just for precautionary purposes. But the NCAA tournament, I think, has since said that, so right now we're going forward as planned. So it's, you have a lot of different factions of this, right? You have people in general saying, we got to do more. And then you have other people saying, we're going a little too crazy here with going to that extreme. We don't have to go to that extreme yet.
You know what else I know? I saw over the weekend, if you want to fly from New York City to Italy, you can do it for about $275.
Yeah, flights are pretty cheap right now.
That's clear cut.
I'll be booking some things.
People are limiting travel.
Well, they are canceling flights all over the place. Right. I mean, I saw something this morning. I think right now they're saying the way the cancellations and because of what's going on with flights, we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars affecting the airline industry.
Yeah.
Hundreds
of billions. That's the projection, yeah, going forward,
yeah,
for sure.
This is what else I know. I know
something.
I know. Just one more quick one. And I don't really know. I just wanted
to
bring this. Well, I just wanted to bring this. I don't really know how this fits.
Reminds me of somebody else I used to work with. Go ahead.
Wow. Kelly, you've been on a roll lately. If you're at a table in Vegas, I would advise you not to get up.
I won't.
Did you guys see the story of at the Combine? This guy it's Jeff Okuda from Ohio State, right? He's going to be a top five pick. He's really, really good. The podcast, I guess, is called The Score Crow. And this reporter kept pressing. I've watched the audio. Okuda about his tendency to be sloppy. And he says, how are you looking to improve that? And Okuda came back and said, sloppy in what way? Sloppy like penalties and stuff like that. And then the guy said, then Okuda just kind of followed up with, well, I had zero pass interferences, zero holding calls, so go cut the tape on again, and you might want to check it out. Well, so he got embarrassed pretty bad by Okuda, and good for Okuda for coming, pushing back and saying, what are you talking about? And this cat doubled down on Twitter. I mean, he just flat out doubled down and said, I put on the tape, or say, I'm a grown man. I can, sit and cry about it. He had zero pass interference, zero holding. But how many of those were missed by the refs? I mean, really? What?
Ooh.
What? Like that? That's really your comeback? Yeah, he didn't get called for him, but I mean, how many did the refs miss? What?
Yeah, that's not good.
So you can imagine what happened. Yeah, he's out.
He gone.
His next tweet was, I've seen the ugly parts of the sports business, so I have decided to leave the Score Crow. I'll be putting my talent somewhere else. Yeah, you were actually not leaving. You were told to leave.
Yeah, you messed up.
Bad luck.
You stepped in it.
Do your homework, man. Do your homework. How are you going to fix your sloppy play? Well, I didn't have any penalties last year.
Yeah.
I didn't have any holdings or pass interference.
But
I mean, how many did they miss? What?
This is what I know. The NFLPA has said, by a vote of our Board of Player Representatives, we have extended the voting deadline on the proposed new collective bargaining agreement to Saturday, March 14th. At 11:59 Eastern Daylight Time, every vote matters, and we encourage all players to review the material sent via email in order to make an informed decision. Here's what I've learned. Not what I know, what I've learned because of that. We've been talking about the franchise and the transition tag, how teams can use both. Well, apparently, if they get this thing ratified, even though teams have until Thursday to issue both, they actually would have to rescind one. So it would go back to they could only use one. I did not know that, and now I do.
Now you know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Good stuff. Apparently, the makeshift phone lines were having issues with those, too. So.
And Tom Brady has yet to tweet me back. I have now sent him 3 tweets. I followed up today, said I found a coffee shop that he and Giselle would love. Let me know. Waiting to hear back. Might have to try and slide into DM soon. I don't know.
Okay.
But he hasn't gotten back to me.
We'll probably give some of the text for Twick, the prizes. All right, we'll come back. Hour number 3. We head east. We bring in Vince Ferrara next.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.